For some of us, this last week has been a week of traditions, perhaps. Maybe you have some Valentine's Day traditions. More likely, you have some Super Bowl traditions. I'm here at something like my 10th dance flurry here in Saratoga Springs, which has certainly become a tradition for me. And so I've been imagining traditions and how they change over the years. Every dance flurry has been a little different. Every Valentine's Day, certainly. Super Bowl maybe has been more consistent in my life, at least the snacks. I don't watch the game much, but the snacks are a tradition in my household. I grew up outside of Chicago, and I came to Boston to study music in the year 2000. And ever since the day that I arrived in New England, my Midwestern prairie heart has been enamored with the ocean. Knowing of my fascination with the sea, my mom gave me a very special present for my 40th birthday 2 years ago now. She bought me a ticket for a 4-day excursion out on the actual ocean on an actual tall ship. The boat is the oldest schooner still on the water. It's a gaff rig topsail double-masted schooner. And I don't know what any of that means, but I'm sure it's just a way of saying it's very old-timey. And so it came to pass that I spent 4 days on this huge, beautiful old boat built in 1871. And one morning, I was sitting in this crowded little kitchen below deck, and I noticed this huge wooden beam across the center of the ship. I asked the captain about it, and she said that it was carved with the original serial number of the ship on this center beam. And then I turned back to Captain Becky, our fearless leader, and I asked, "Wow, how much of the ship is original to 1871? "Well," she said, putting her hand on that beam, "this beam here." Maybe also the iron bell at the top of the mast. I was floored. This oldest schooner on the water was almost entirely new. You might be familiar with the Ship of Theseus, a thought experiment handed down to us by the ancient Greek philosophers. According to legend, Theseus was the great heroic founder of the city of Athens. And the people of Athens kept his ship in their harbor safe and sound, and they would bring it out on the water once a year for an annual pilgrimage, a celebration of the history and values of their city. After a few hundred years, though, of maintaining the ship and replacing the planks of it as they rotted away one at a time, some of those Greek philosophers in town began to wonder about that ship in the harbor. They wondered, if at some point every plank in the ship has been replaced, is it still really the same boat? Is it still Theseus's ship? Now, if you aren't embarking on an old-timey sailboat anytime soon, the question of Theseus's ship might feel irrelevant. But I think this same question shows up in our spiritual lives much more often. In my own spiritual community of Sanctuary Boston, where we meet for worship on Wednesday evenings, we begin every worship with words of welcome that include saying whether you've been hurt by religion, saved by it, or some of both, we welcome you. And I suspect that for many of us here as well, our experience of religion has been some of both. And religions, by and large, are a lot like old ships. They are passed down through the generations, and they are constantly in need of maintenance and renovation. Now, religious conservatives will deny that renovation is ever necessary. But we religious progressives understand that religion is always being updated, and that's what keeps them seaworthy. It's what keeps them useful. And when some folks say they want to be spiritual but not religious, it might be because there is a dangerous amount of rot in the tradition that they were born into. There are 1,000 good reasons to want a clean break from institutional religion. And I can certainly understand not wanting to renovate a leaky old boat that was built for another time, particularly because the work of renovation has to be done when you are already out at sea on life's voyage. But dear ones, the ocean isn't necessarily safer alone in a rowboat either. The role of tradition is to make present the wisdom of generations past, as we heard in our reading. And then our role is to apply that tradition to the moment we're in, for nothing less than our own survival and our collective liberation. I'll say this, I'm glad that I didn't try and spend 4 days out on the water in a 150-year-old boat that hadn't had any parts replaced in all that time. Because, in fact, there aren't any boats still afloat from 150 years ago for whom that is true. And there aren't any religions around that haven't changed in the last 150 years either. One of my earliest memories of witnessing this kind of evolution of religious community was in my own high school youth group. For the 4 years that I was in high school, my youth group was the touchstone of my week. Every Wednesday night, we'd gather together and do a check-in that was absurdly long. I have this sense that other youth groups did like activities or at least had like themes and topics for discussion, but not us. We just did a 2-hour check-in every Wednesday. But that space to listen deeply, to speak and to be heard by my peers and my community, that was so liberating, and it was in fact soul-saving. But then, now get this, after I had been out of high school for a year, moved to Boston, come back home for the summer, over summer break, I visited that youth group one Wednesday evening. And you're not going to believe this, but there were all these new people there. And these new people, these young people, who I didn't even know, I'm going to tell you, they talked about the shallowest things all night long. I spent the whole evening mourning the loss of what had once been such a valuable community, thinking about how as soon as my generation had left, the whole thing had fallen into disrepair. And then, at the end of the meeting, after 2 hours of unspiritual, unmeaningful, and might I add, boring conversation, this one kid in the group says, "You know, this is the only place where I can really be myself. And if it wasn't for you all, and if it wasn't for this place, I don't know what I would do." And at the time I thought, "Kid, you don't even know what spiritual is." Today, with some distance though, I've been able to step back, and today I wonder if maybe spiritual depth and connection isn't always something you can see from the outside. And maybe the youth group had fallen into disrepair. Maybe it was only a fragment of its former self. But maybe just a fragment of unconditional love is still enough to transform somebody's world. Or maybe traditions evolve and culture changes, and growing up requires some openness to that change and to considering that maybe what worked for you isn't what will work for the next generation. Some people will tell you that a tradition is a thing that stays the same. Some religious people will tell you that a religious community is always constant. It's all baloney, though. They're all just Theseus's old ship. I had this feeling again recently, that returning to visit the youth group even after you've aged out feeling. For as long as I can remember, my own Unitarian Universalist tradition has been most clearly defined by our 7 principles. And I say as long as I can remember because, to my horror, I learned recently that I am 3 years older than the 7 principles. These principles have served as the central beam, the serial number of our Unitarian Universalist tradition for 38 years. And these 7 principles have been enshrined in Article 2 of our UU Association's bylaws. But our Association of Congregations will likely vote to replace them this coming June. And I'll be honest, I was not a fan of this when I first heard the news. I have my own list of things that I wish was different about my larger faith community. And in fact, most of my adult life has been pushing and pulling at this tradition of mine in different ways now. I've been trying to rebuild our creaky old boat in my own way for a long time now. So I was embarrassed to hear this much too familiar voice coming from inside my own heart this time when I heard the news about famous Article 2, and this crabby voice within me, this crabby little voice said, sure, I want change, but not this change. But after wrestling with these feelings, well, after 14 Facebook posts came across my feed about it, I finally took a deep breath and I clicked the link to read the new proposal. And you know, most of the words proposed, they weren't all that unfamiliar. There were words like interdependence and justice and equity. There was a new word, though, that stuck out to me, the word transformation. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change, it says, is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages. Never complete and never perfect. I have to agree that changing our principles to state that we are open to change is a good change. Apparently, it's also a reminder I could use. There's one other part of that gaff-rigged sailboat that Captain Becky later mentioned might be original. The wood at the bottom of the hull, the wood that is closest to the sea, that part that is always underwater lasts longer because bacteria doesn't have the oxygen to grow there. And somehow, it didn't surprise me that the part of the boat most central to keeping it afloat, which is, after all, a boat's most central purpose, it doesn't surprise me that those planks have staying power, even though they are hidden underneath, invisible to a tourist like me. Maybe what's most important isn't always what's most visible when you first look at a tradition or a community or a person. There is another word being added to the UU values as well this year. The word love will be added. Love wasn't in the principles before. Or at least it wasn't visible in the writing. Perhaps it was hidden underneath. But now it will be at the center where it belongs, keeping everything else afloat. I used to be captivated by this question of Theseus's ship. But now when I think of that old boat in Athens Harbor, I think it doesn't matter much whether we call it Theseus's or not. What matters is that it is able to make the pilgrimage. What matters is that it's seaworthy. What matters is that each new generation is able to take what was handed down to them and make use of it still, again, for their own survival and for their collective liberation. Despite all the debates in the public sphere about religion and sacred text, the important thing about a text isn't winning an argument over what it was supposed to mean 1,000 years ago. The important thing is whether it makes you a more loving person this year. The important thing about a tradition isn't whether we do it the same way we did it last year. It's whether the sameness or the differentness offers us some warmth and some light in a season that can be cold and dark. So, dear ones, if you have been hurt by a religion that raised you, know that it is okay to leave and make a clean break. And know also that it's okay to replace all of the rotten parts, even if that means that a sturdy beam at the center and some old planks down below are all that's left of the original. And if you have been saved by a religion that offered you at least a fragment of unconditional love when you needed it the most, go ahead and pass that fragment down to the next person. Dear ones, may we make this ship anew as we sail it together. May we grow together toward liberation and toward love. May it be so, and may we make it so.